First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this very nice, interesting conference. I'm really happy to have this opportunity to introduce our work. Today, I would like to have a talk entitled Optical Quantum Circuits and Their Applications. This work, main part of this work is done as a collaboration with Professor Holger Hofmann and Professor Jeremy O'Brien. Okay, so this is a photo of my group. So actually, you can see Professor Steinberg here, right? He was visiting Osaka University for almost 2 months, just after the earthquake, unfortunately. But now we are working together in Osaka, and especially if you have some friends in Tohoku area or Tokyo area, they are still suffering from earthquakes and after some problems about electric power plants, so please help them. Okay, so today I would like to also introduce Ryo Okamoto. He contributed these works very well, and Dr. Fujiwara in the last part of this work. Okay, these are collaborators, and I'd like to thank these funding agencies. So this is the content of my talk today. In the first part, I would like to briefly introduce the concept of linear optics quantum circuit. And then I would like to present our recent demonstrations. The first one is the demonstration of new Rafael-Milban Schnitt gate as a quantum circuit combining tailored optical nonlinearity using linear optics. The second part is our demonstration of another quantum circuit called entanglement filter. In the last part, I'd like to show our current effort to realize some new nonlinear devices for future quantum circuits. It's a microsphere resonator coupled with a tapered fiber at cryogenic temperatures. Okay, so let me have an introduction. Photons are very useful media of quantum information, as you know. It's robust against environmental fluctuations, and long-distance transmission is possible. However, there is one big problem. Even though single-qubit gates can be realized by conventional linear optical devices, like beam splitters or wave plates, however, it's very difficult to have two-qubit gates. It is because it requires giant optical nonlinearity at the single photon level. And there are two different strategies. The first one is linear optics and event post-selection. The second one is cavity QED devices using atomic nonlinearities. The second strategy also includes some ideas like using EIT, like Professor Steinberg is working on. Okay, so this is how we could achieve our kind of gate for photonic two-qubit gates using giant optical nonlinearity. So this is quantum phase gates utilizing optical nonlinearity at the single photon level. Before that, I would like to introduce optical phase switches, where when you have a strong control light pulse here, you observe pi phase shift for this pulse only when you have strong control light signal. Quantum phase gate is an ultimate version of this sort of gate, where when you have a single photon as a control photon, you observe pi phase shift for the target photon. However, when you don't have any control photon here, you will not see any change in phase. Another important issue is these input states can be superposition states of 0 and 1. And this is a key device for quantum information processing using photons. And okay, so let's see how much optical nonlinearity are available with current technology. This is photonic crystal fiber. Here, you know, a very small structure inside the fiber makes it possible to put all the optical power into this very small region. Therefore, you can have the largest optical nonlinearity available at the moment. And this is from the paper by Professor Edamatsu, Nature Photonics 2008. And this is mean photon number in a POM pulse. And this is obtainable phase shift in radian. So when you look at here, this is 10 to the 0 means 1 photon. 10 to the minus 7, right? So even when you use the sort of device which could have the largest optical nonlinearity, nonlinear reflective index, what you can have is one of 10 million per photon, right? So difficult to realize. However, one decade ago, 2001, Professor Neil Laflamme and Milbaum reported a very, groundbreaking idea. They suggested that such kind of efficient nonlinearity can be obtained using just linear optics, single photon sources, photon number discriminating detectors. And linear optics is a beam splitter or wave plates, and single photon sources are now being developed by many groups, and photon number discriminating detectors are, in a sense, already available. So people are attracted by this idea very much. Okay, let me explain what is the key point of this idea. So the trick is multi-photon quantum interference observed by Professor Hong Mandel in 1988, right? So maybe most of you know what is this, but I'd like to explain for ordinary people. When you have two photons simultaneously sent to a beam splitter, 50-50 beam splitter, there are four cases possible. The first case is one photon is reflected and one is transmitted. This is the opposite case. And the third case is both photons are reflected, and the fourth case is both photons are transmitted, right? However, when your two photons are completely indistinguishable, in that case, the initial state and the final state of these two cases are completely exactly the same, right? So you cannot distinguish these two processes. Therefore, quantum mechanics says that in that case, you have to consider about the interference of these two processes, okay? And when you calculate the probability amplitude of these two processes, actually these two processes, the amplitudes are opposite. Therefore, you have destructive interference between these two processes and vanishes. So what you have is when you put two photons into a beam splitter, what you observe is this case or this case, okay? This is the main trick of linear optics quantum computation. And what KLM suggested is that, suppose you have a beam splitter with reflectivity about 20%, and when you have ancillary photons simultaneously incident to the beam splitter with the input state. In that case, the ancillary photon acts as a catalyst, okay? So when you have a single photon instance, you don't observe any phase shift. However, when you have two photon states, in that case, the two photon state is shifted by pi. Whenever the detector detects one photon, the nonlinear phase shift occurs, okay? Even though this event occurs with probability of 25%, however, when you have a Herding signal, this is successful with 100%. Okay, so this is a circuit suggested by Neil Laflamme and Milbaum. And when you have a input state phi with arbitrary amplitude of zero photon component, one photon component, and two photon component, what you have in the output state is this state, with the phase shifted by pi for two photon components, non-linearity, right? And Tim Schirach and Andrew and Mundo and Minvan suggested a more simplified scheme for this one. With slight decrease in the success rate, you can remove path interferometer. This is also a very critical idea. And this is a CNOT gate combining two effective non-linearities. This KLM CNOT gate circuit contains two Herald NS non-linear sign shift gate. And when both of them show success signal, the gate operation is 100% successful. But success rate is just 1 over 16. However, they also showed in their paper that it can be enhanced to 1 in theory using quantum teleportation. I'd like to show how this CNOT gate works with this sort of cartoon picture, right? Okay, so when you have a control photon in state 0, and suppose you have a signal in state 0, in this case, so you have a superposition in the signal. Sorry. Okay, this state, and I'm really sorry. Okay, so you have a superposition at beam splitter 1. However, since this is one photon component, so you don't see any phase shift like this. And as a result, you have another interference here, and the result is like this. So you have the output state in zero in signal, right? However, let's see the case where a control photon is in the state of 1. In this case, the different point is that now you have a single photon here, right? So you have a superposition of two photon here or two photon here. So it results phase shift, and now your signal photon is target rooted into this mode. Okay. So this KLM CNOT gate can be implemented like this, as suggested by Tim Schirach and his collaborators. However, this is very complicated, as you see. So there are many optical interferometers concatenated, right? So even though it is proposed in 2001, this gate has not been demonstrated, maybe because concatenated nested path interference and 4-2 photon quantum interferences with high visibilities. So we solved this problem using partially polarizing beam splitters, where reflectance of the beam splitter depends on the polarization of incident photons. And using such kind of partially polarizing beam splitters, this circuit can be changed into this simplified version. However, you still have one interferometer here. So we used this phase synapse architecture to have ultra-stable path interference for many hours without any active control. And then this one becomes like this. So here, control photon and target photon is sitting, and these two are ancillary photons, and this part is two nonlinear sign shift gates. Okay? So when photons are looped into first beam splitter, two photon interference occurs here, and then move into two nonlinear sign shift gates, and another two photon interferences with ancillary photons and then rerouted into the output, and the outputs are analyzed with these two analyzers. And this is the result. So this is theoretical CNOT gate truth table, and this is our experimental one. You can see some, you know, DDR errors. However, in total, this fidelity is, truth table fidelity is 87%. And we also performed another truth tables with different optical bases, and average gate fidelity was achieved 82%. And process fidelity was 70-80%. It infers this has, you know, a non-classical operation. Okay, so second one is a bit similar one, but I'd like to introduce our entanglement filter. So as you may know, polarization filter is a very important filter, which a certain component of a polarization state is filtered out like this. Vertically polarized photon can pass this filter, but horizontal photon cannot pass this filter. And when you put a diagonally polarized photon, only vertical component is extracted. And this presence filter is indispensable for manipulation, initialization, and measurement-based protocols for, like Zeno effect and more. And here, our entanglement filter is a kind of extension of a single qubit filter to two qubit filter. A two qubit presence filter which transmits photon pairs only if they share the same horizontal or vertical polarization, and where the quantum coherence between HH and VB components are preserved. Like this. So when you have VB photons, it can pass this filter, and HH photons, it also can pass this filter. And when you have HV components, it cannot pass this filter. Thus, when you input two orthogonally polarized photons, since two orthogonally polarized photons are superposition states of these four states, therefore, when you this filter eliminates these two components, thus the residual state is superposition of HH and VB. This is an entangled state. So this filter can be used as an on-demand entangled photon source with single photon sources and purification of entanglement or other issues. We proposed an optical circuit to perform this function in 2002. However, this also includes many two-photon interferences and concatenated optical path interferometers. But I would like to show you the working principle of this circuit in the next slide. So the key point of this circuit is this one. This part acts as a sort of photon number QNB measurement device. Suppose you have a single photon input here, and since we are putting ancillary photon from this mode, therefore, due to the two-photon interference, probability to detect one photon at this detector 2 is zero, right? On the other hand, when you have no photon input in this mode or two-photon input in this mode, there are some probabilities to observe single photon at this detector. It means that for HV or VH input, since one photon is rooted into this inner circuit, one of the D1 and D2 should never detect one photon, right? One photon is rooted either this part or this part. Therefore, these two detectors, one of these two detectors cannot fire. So It means that if you observe the coincidence between D1 and D2, in that case, the state will never be HV or VH. Okay? So this is the mechanism how this circuit works for other quantum filter. And we used to partially polarizing beam splitters and displaced selector architecture. This original circuit can be simplified like this using PPBS. And then this is the final architecture we used to demonstrate this filter function. And again, these two signal photons are routed into this part, and this is QNV part. And we observe the two-photon interference with ancillary photons. And then final state have another two-photon interference, and you have output state. And this is our display Sanac circuit we constructed. And these are single-photon sources or some other controlling devices. So this is the result, and this is again ideal case, and this is experimental truth table for HH, HV, VH, VV input, and these are outputs, HH, HV, VH, VV output. In ideal case, when you have HH input or VV input, the original state is output with very high probability. However, when you have HV or VH input, you will never see any output like this. This is the result. Even though we still have a small output in HV, both in HV and VH, however, I would like to say HV and VH components are almost filtered out. And the fidelity of this process is 80%. And we also checked if the quantum quantum coherence between HH and VV components are still remaining in this process. And we checked other fidelities for different basis states. And F process we calculated is 0.54. And from this fidelity F process, we can extract entanglement capability is higher than zero. So we conclude that we observe the entangling capability of our quantum filter in this experiment. Okay, so I still have some time. Okay, I would like to move to the final part. So towards future photonic quantum circuit. Okay, so linear optical quantum circuit is very interesting. However, however, there is a very still drawback. I mean, probability of success is very small. In case of KLM CNOT gates, it's just 5% or 6%. So, okay. So we are looking for another optical nonlinearity, and this is one example: single atom optical nonlinearity using two-level atom and single photon. And this is, I would like to explain how this nonlinearity works. I'm really sorry. Yeah, non-native speakers, this sort of, you know, slide is very challenging, right? So, suppose you have a girl here and a boy here. Maybe boy always stop at the girl when she is alone, okay? So, stop. And pass, right? However, usually, girl, since she can speak to only one person at a time, maybe. Okay? The second boy does not stop at the girl, like this. So, pass through, right? Okay. So, this is a nonlinear phenomenon in terms of number of boys, okay? However, this may be exactly true when you have single photon and two-level atom, and if you can have a very nice large interaction between single photon and two-level atom, right? And this principle was demonstrated many years ago by Jeff Kimball in... I'm sorry if Jeff Kimball's group people are here. I'm just kidding, okay? So, in 1995, using microcavity, and they put cesium atoms into the cavity, and they used weak light probe, weak probe light CW weak light probe, and they observed when they on and off the light circularly polarized pump light, they measure the rotation angle of the linearly polarized probe beam, and they observe that when you increase the power of pump beam, you don't observe the rotation anymore, like as I have mentioned in the previous slide. Okay. However, in this demonstration, one big difficulty is that phase shift occurred only when the atoms passing through the cavity. So only when the atom is exactly the center of the cavity, you can observe this sort of nonlinearity. So if you are interested in manipulation photons, this system is unfortunately not effective. So now we are looking at another system in solid state. So we have been working on microsphere resonators coupled with tapered fiber for many years. It is because this system is inherently have high Q value, like 10 million or even larger. And also, transmittance is very high. We can achieve almost 95% transmission in this single mode. And you can couple all the photons into microsphere resonator with 100% efficiency. So in these points, this system is very attracting. And there were some technical challenges. One thing is that in order to observe coherent phenomena, we have to cool down the system, whole system, to maybe a few Kelvin, right? However, it was difficult to realize a stable coupling of a microsphere and tapered fiber with nanometer order position control at cryogenic temperature. And the second point is, if this system is robust and you can use this system without any depolarization, even at cryogenic temperature, those two are big challenges before we realize such kind of system. And this is our recent result. So we made this sort of cryostat system with big sample room, and this is a phase position, 3-axis phase positioner sitting inside the cryostat, and this is tapered fiber, and this is tiny microsphere resonator, and we moved this microsphere resonator to the tapered fiber very step by step, and this is the result. When the distance is 400 nanometer, 0.4 micrometer, you cannot observe any resonance. However, if it becomes 100 nanometer, you can see the resonance dip like this. And if it becomes 50 nanometer, resonance is maximized. And at zero, since you can have lots of modes inside the microsphere coupled to the tapered fiber, spectrum completely changes. So now, we are able to use this fiber microsphere system at cryogenic temperature. And we also tested if this system is robust for polarization qubit. And the result is that, you know, we checked phase shift spectrum or purity spectrum of this fiber microsphere system. Using faint probe light of average number of photons is 0.4 per 10 nanoseconds. 10 nanoseconds is the decay rate of diamond NV center. And the result is like this. So this is not that this is without NV centers, just microsphere resonator and tapered fiber. And this phase shift is due to the resonance with the microsphere cavity. But purity here is very high, on average 98%, and even the worst one is 89%. So we think that these purities are enough to demonstrate our experiment and promising for future quantum phase gates. And we also tested the similar experiment at cryogenic temperature and DOP, degree of polarization. This is a classical analog of purity, is almost one. So we checked that, you know, still we can avoid polarization degradation in cryogenic temperature. And this is not included in my talk, but we are also recently working on ultra broadband parameter down conversion generation from visible wavelengths to near IR wavelengths, from, in this case, 700 nanometer to 1.6 micron for different purposes. Okay, so this is the conclusion of my talk. So in the first part, I showed two examples of our optical quantum circuit. The first one is quantum circuit combining tailored optical nonlinearities, and this might be useful for different quantum information processing. If you need some sort of nonlinearity, you can use effective optical nonlinearity of this sort of system, right? And the second one is our demonstration of entanglement filter. And the third one is our effort to demonstrate a nonlinear phase shift using atomic nonlinearity. Thank you very much for your attention.